commencing at verse 26, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Well, there's a title for you, The Sound of Silence. The Sound of Silence. And if you know music at all, you'll recognize that title as the same title of a very famous song. I see a hand there, Ken. Do you know who sang and wrote the first version of Sound of Silence? Yeah, Simon Garfunkel with Paul Simon. And it was redone by a group called Disturbed. And it was a disturbing version as well. Anyway, how many of you love the Christmas songs that get pumped out every single year? You like them? Wow, I'm shocked. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. So you all love that "All I Want for Christmas Is You" by Mariah Carey, right? You want that. Have you noticed a couple of words from the song? Let's have a look if we got it. "I don't want a lot for Christmas. There's just one thing I need. I don't care about presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you as my own." Let me ask you again. Do you love these type of songs that get pumped out at Christmas? Oh, I didn't think so. Okay. How about this one? This one was originally done by the Jackson 5. I'll just give you the title. "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus." I mean, seriously, that's just got to be confusing for children, right? How about this one? This one was called "Santa Baby." "Santa Baby." It was first done by Eartha Kitt. It was then redone by Kylie Minogue and Madonna. Here's some of the words. "Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl. Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. You have got to wonder where there is any hope for the human race after such a song." But just one more takes the cake. I'm not even going to comment on it. How about this one? That was actually done by Elmo and Patsy. I kid you not. "Grandma got run over by a reindeer." Say no more. All right. Heaven help us if that is all what Christmas is about. But in fact, that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? It's about heaven helping us. It's actually about heaven coming down. It's about the Father sending His Son to help us. Now, If you've got Luke 1 open in front of you, which I hope that you do, and you will, there are two prophetic songs in the Christmas story in Luke 1. Luke 1, there is Mary's song, which is traditionally known as the Magnificat, and then there's the song of Zechariah, which is known as the Benedictus. Now, I ain't going to get into those songs this morning per se. What I want to do this morning, though, is I want to have a look at what happened before the two of them burst into prophetic song. In other words, I want to have a look at the angelic visits to both of them to see how they responded, to compare them and see where that goes. Did you notice in the readings that both Mary and Zechariah got an angelic visit from the same angel? Both Mary and Zechariah are given a promise of a what? Of a son. But there are two very different what? Responses to the angel and his promise. And I want to look at that under five headings for you this morning. Here comes the first one, the sound of prayer. Got your Bible? Not all of it will come up on the screen, but in Luke 1 verse 5, we are told that Zechariah is a priest. We're told in chapter 1, verse 6, that he and his wife are righteous, which means that they are God-fearing worshippers of Yahweh. Chapter 1, verse 8, the division of Zechariah is chosen by lot. Zechariah is chosen to go into the holy place in order to offer prayers of the people in the form of incense that is burnt up on the altar of incense. And chapter 1, verse 9, there were so many priests in that time that to get chosen by lot, it was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the priest, Zechariah, to go into the holy place. This burning of incense, you might remember, is part of the burning of incense represented the prayers of God's people. And you might remember that Revelation 5 and 8 actually pick that up in the form of very graphic, symbolic imagery. The priest would literally go before the altar of incense, lift up the prayers of God's people before God, symbolically represented in an incense, in an aroma that's burned up before God. What do you think the main prayer was that the people offered? What do you think the main prayer was? The main prayer of the people was for the Messiah to come. It was a prayer to God for him to fulfill his promises to Israel that the anointed one would come. He would come and save them from their enemies. He would come and liberate them from bondage. He'd come and set the captives free, and he would forgive their sins. If you've got your Bible, I love verse 10. In fact, I think I've got that on here. Look at this, chapter 1, verse 10. It says, when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Reminds me of the story of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the British Baptist preacher, who said that when he got into the pulpit, there were people in the church basement praying for him as he preached. I want to ask you that you would continue to pray for me as I continue to bring God's word to you every single week. But maybe we can build a basement at the bottom of this church, and some of you can get down there and start praying. Imagine preaching and prayers are rising up out of the floor. Anyway, let's move on. All you can hear in the passage at this point is the sound of prayer. You've got Zechariah praying on the inside. You've got the worshippers praying on the outside. And what are they praying? Lord, send your Messiah. Lord, send your anointed one. Send your promised one. Oh Lord, how long? I wonder if there will be the sound of prayer amongst us as God's people this Christmas. Will there be the sound of prayer? More prayer than presents. More prayer than parties. More prayer than shopping. More prayer than Would you and I join with the saints symbolically in Revelation chapter 6 who are sitting under the altar? And what are the saints praying? Come, Lord Jesus, come. How long, O Lord? But you see, we're not praying for the first coming, we're praying for the second. We're not praying for the first coming, we're praying for the final coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha, come. Your people are waiting. But the sound of prayer moves to the sound of unbelief. Verse 11, an angel who we know is Gabriel from verse 19 and appears to Zechariah. And this is interesting, verse 13, and says to him that God has heard your prayer, Zechariah, and your prayer for a son will be granted, and Elizabeth, your wife, will have a child. And we know from the passage down in verse 17 that this son he'll be the new Elijah from Malachi 4. He'll be the voice in the wilderness. In other words, your son will be the forerunner to the Messiah. Now, just wonder with me here a little bit. In chapter 1, verse 7, we're told that Elizabeth was barren. Both of them were well on in years. Well on in years means they were octogenarian old. You know what that means? In my terms, they were real old ducks, like old ducks. Sorry, but like really, really. And you've sort of got to wonder, Zechariah's been praying for a son. You've got to wonder, when was the last time Zechariah prayed that prayer, right? You hear what I'm getting at? I mean, I'm thinking this. Zechariah is thinking, well, angel, I ain't prayed that prayer for a while. I mean, it sounds a bit crazy. I'm old. My wife is old. She's a dry pond. That ship has sailed. I mean, I'm not even sure I'm up to the task. Can you imagine something of the conversation at dinner that night? Honey, Elizabeth, you won't believe what the Holy Spirit told me in the Holy of Place. And you can't help thinking that Elizabeth is saying, this old geezer, old Zeki, he's just up to his old tricks trying to trick me to, you know. Moving on. All right, let's. No, I'm serious, man. I'm telling you. But here's the thing, right? Zechariah in chapter 1, 18, he blurts out a sound of what? Unbelief. Hey, it's no way, Jose. Hey, I'm old, she old, we're octogenarian, we're moving. You see, it wasn't a response like, man, this is a tough promise to stomach. But I know, God, that you can do anything, so it's going to happen. It's more like this. It's like, hey, no way, Gabes. This old geezer, my old goose, we ain't going to have a baby. That's just not the way it's going to be. Let me ask you a question this morning. What about you? As you hear the promise of a Savior again, I wonder whether you're uttering a sound of unbelief. Do you really believe that God has promised you a Savior and that Savior has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Do you believe? Or is there the sound of unbelief? I mean, this promise that God made, in fact, it goes all the way back to the beginning, doesn't it? Do you remember Genesis chapter 3:15? In fact, God spoke this promise directly to Satan. He said, I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This was the promise that one day through the line of a woman, God would bring a Messiah, a serpent crusher. He would save His people from their sin. He would save His people from the lies of the devil. And that promise has been fulfilled. He is the seed of the woman by the Holy Spirit who was born to crush Satan at the cross and rescue you from the penalty of your sin. It's a world. The world is making a sound of unbelief, aren't they? Little baby in a manger, Savior, God in human flesh. No way! Impossible! Stupid! Ridiculous! Folklore! Made up! Imagination! But what about you? What about you? Is Christmas the sound of unbelief? Or is Christmas the sound of belief for you? Which takes us to Mary, doesn't it? And the sound of belief. And you probably noticed if you were listening to the reading, there was such an incredible contrast between the sound of Zechariah and the sound of Mary. Same angel gives her a promise. She'll bear a son. But she isn't going to bear the forerunner. Who is she going to bear? She's going to bear the Son of God. She's going to bear the Savior of the world, the Messiah. And so the angel says to her, you'll conceive and give birth to a son. You ought to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. Oh, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will have no end. How did she respond? Verse 34, she says, well, how will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? Now, you've got to get into her mind a little bit at this point, because she's probably thinking, okay, I'm a virgin, so what would she naturally think? Maybe, how would this promise be fulfilled? She'd probably have to wait till she's married to Joseph. And then, but the angel raises the belief bar. He raises the belief bar. Verse 35, no, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. No, Mary. There's no natural means going on here. This is the Holy Spirit who will overshadow you and empower you. Now think about it this way. If there are two old duckies to have a baby, if that's hard to believe by normal means, how hard would it be to believe a promise of a child without a male human sperm? She understood that. And what does Mary say? With the bar high. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Another translation, may it be to me as you have said. Mary's sound of belief is contrasted with Zechariah's sound of unbelief. And if I can just do a little aside here, you know there are those that say that women are more gullible than men because Eve believed the snake in the garden. I suggest to you that Mary's faith and Zechariah's unbelief crushes that snake. Wouldn't you agree? Let's move on. May your heart this morning have a sound of belief. To believe the promise that God has fulfilled His promise from Eve, through Mary, to us, to a Messiah who will save us from us. Seems crazy, doesn't it? Impossible. A baby born of the Holy Spirit, no male human sperm, born to die, born to rise, born to reign forever? It's nuts. But you remember what the angel said to Mary? Nothing is what? Nothing is impossible with God. And she responds by saying what? May it be to me as you have said. Maybe God has made a very special promise to you, a very personal promise about something. Maybe God has spoken a real word of promise to you, into your heart, into your soul about something in the future that hasn't yet happened. And maybe God has made a real promise to you and you're still waiting and you're struggling to wait. I want to ask you that if God has spoken that to you, I want to encourage you to wait. May it be to me as you have said. Now, I know as Christians, sometimes we can think that we get promises from God and they're not really promises from God because we just want to so believe that God will do something that we think that God has spoken to us. That can happen. But there are times when God really speaks a word of promise down, deep down into the soul of His people. It may be something so precious and so personal and so real just for you. And I want to ask you to hang on to it this morning. Hang on to that promise. May it be to me as you have said. But you and I know that there are certain promises in the Bible that God has made to us through Jesus that are ours to hold forever. And isn't it true that even though these promises we know are so certain, we doubt so quickly, and in our fear, we then go and do so many stupid things and sinful things, and it just sometimes seems that the promises that God has made to us, they're like impossible, right? Really? Is God really going to come through? You know, on the very day that I was preparing this message, I was feeling so helpless. I was feeling so powerless. I was feeling so weak. It was wrapped around things in my life, things in this church, ministry in this church, things in my family. And I sat there in front of this and saying, oh Lord, do I really believe your what? Do I really believe your promises to me? Do I really believe you're going to follow through on what you have promised to me, to this church? I want to ask you to do something for me. You don't have to do this, but I just want to really bring your attention. I want to encourage you, if you want to please just close your eyes for a moment. If you don't want to, that's okay. But perhaps with your eyes closed, I want to speak some promises over you. Speak the very promises of God over you, and I pray that there would be the sound of belief in your heart as you hear them. Close your eyes, just close your eyes and just listen to these words. Oh, people of God, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous hand. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you go through the fire, you will not be burned, and the flames will not set you ablaze. Do not be afraid, my people, for I am with you. Now you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do not fear, my people, for I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. Just keep your eyes closed for a moment. I just pray that just breathe. Just breathe. Would you just breathe in the promises of God? Breathe in. Open your eyes. You know, if there is one promise of God that promises to continually transform our lives, it's the promise of His presence. It's the promise that I'm with you. You know, one of the most powerful things that you can ever say to someone when they're going through a hard time, when they're going through bereavement, when they're going through rejection, when they're going through betrayal, when they're going through sickness or abuse or redundancy or whatever it is, one of the most powerful things that you can say to a person is what? I'm with you. And sometimes one of the most tangible ways in which you can express that is to say that I'm with you is that physical hug. It is to grab that hand and say, I am with you. We all know probably something of the comfort of someone coming to see you in hospital. And one of the most powerful gestures you can ever make is that person sitting, lying in the bed, or you're lying in that bed, and they grab your hand and that person says to you, I'm with you. I'm just with you. and you have to leave, you have to go home, you have to come back, but I will see you tomorrow. I'm here with you. Why don't you close your eyes and just sleep, because I'm with you. I'm going to stay here, right here. I'm just going to hold your hand. Would you breathe in? Would you breathe in something of the promises of God? The Lord is with me. The Lord is with you. I am with you, says the Lord your God. It's the sound of prayer that moved into the sound of unbelief with Zechariah, that moved into the sound of belief with Mary. And we come back to Zechariah in the sound of silence. And you might remember in chapter 1:20, in Zechariah's sound of unbelief, what does the angel say to him? Zechariah, you will be rendered what? Silent. You will not be able to speak until the day that the promise of God comes to fruition. If you've got your Bible, look at chapter 1, verse 62. You notice there that it's most likely that Zechariah is rendered both silent and what? And deaf. Because the people had to make what? They had to make signs to him. He couldn't hear. They had to make signs. So Zechariah is both silent and he is deaf. Zechariah experiences the sound of silence. I'm going to show you a picture. This particular room is actually in a place called Minneapolis. It's in the Orfield Laboratories in the USA. And it was once dubbed the quietest place on earth by the Guinness Book of Records. The lab is known as an anechoic chamber, meaning there is no echo in the room. It absorbs 99.99% of all sound. Companies use the anechoic chamber to test product volume and sound quality. It's made of 1 meter thick fiberglass acoustic wedges, double walls of insulated steel. I don't know how thick the concrete is. In fact, NASA used something of these type of changes for their astronauts because space is considered to be one huge anechoic chamber. It is reported that people cannot spend more than 45 minutes in that room. Most leave halfway through, tortured by the eerie sounds of their own body. The founder of Orfield Laboratories said this, quote, he said, in the anechoic chamber, you become the sound. But why is Zechariah given an anechoic chamber experience? Have you ever thought about it? Why? Seems a bit weird, doesn't it? Seems a bit odd. There's no other example like that anywhere in the Bible. So what's cooking here? I mean, there's many, many people in the Bible that had unbelief and they weren't what? They weren't struck silent and deaf for 9 months. Seems a bit weird. Seems a bit random. Listen carefully. The sound of silence in Zechariah allows us to hear a number of incredible things which the Jewish readers would have instantly understood. Firstly, the sound of silence mirrors God's silence to Israel for the past 400 years. God has not spoken for 400 years since Malachi. And the deafness of Zechariah mirrors the deafness of Israel to both hear and believe the promises of God. The sound of silence is the sound of unbelief in Israel, because Israel are refusing to believe the very promises of God, that He is their God and He will send them a Messiah to rescue them from their sins. And here's the reality. The Jews today and the nation of Israel today, they're still what? They're still deaf. They're still in silence. It's like they're in an anechoic chamber. And something else you've got to realize here is that with the silence of Zechariah, with his muteness and his deafness, that rendered him to be unclean. So where could he not go? Where could he not go? He couldn't go to the temple. Over 9 months, he could not go into the what? Into the presence of God. He is isolated. It is a picture of the isolation of Israel from God because of their sin. And remember that Israel at this point in the first century, they are still very much isolated from God. They're in exile still. They're under Roman oppression. Before that, Greek oppression. Before that, Babylonian oppression. Israel are in exile. And so it is a picture. Listen, the silent unbelief, that's what it brings from God. Silent unbelief brings a separation from God. It brings an exile from God, which one day will be an eternal silence from the presence of God. Unbelief will bring a silence from God in hell for eternity. Listen, let me give you a picture here. It is very possible that hell will be an eternal anechoic chamber. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. How about this one in Jude 1, verse 13? They are talking of false teachers. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame, wandering stars for whom what? Blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Brothers and sisters, the sound of silence in Zechariah is the sound of judgment on an unbelieving nation, on an unbelieving world, on you, if you do not believe the promises of God. And here's the thing. The Apostle Paul picks up the sound of silence in a slightly different way, with a real little gospel twist. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, take a look. He says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those under the law, so that every mouth will be what? What? Silenced. And the whole world accountable to God. You see, when God speaks, we should be what? Silent and listen. God has been speaking from the very beginning. The message is the same, over and over and over again. The message is, you cannot save yourself. You cannot keep the law to be saved. You do not have the righteousness within yourself. You cannot rescue yourself. You need a what? You need a savior. You need a redeemer. You need a reconciler. You need my son to save you. And if you don't, you will die in the silence of your sin. But God has come to rescue. He has come to help. He has sent heaven. And His name is Jesus. Could I ask us this Christmas? Could I ask us to stop? Could we somehow just stop and be what? Silent? Just stop. Stop the busyness. Stop the hustle. Stop the bustle just for a little bit. Stop and listen to the promise of a Savior who's come to rescue. Listen. Just be silent. Close your eyes. Can you hear it? Can you hear the promise? Don't be silent in unbelief. Be silent in belief. Not silent in unbelief. silent in belief. Can you hear it? So let me finish. Zechariah has been silent and deaf for nine months and 8 days. If Elizabeth wasn't late. And it's at the circumcision of his miraculous son that this happens. They're trying to figure out the name. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Trying to figure out names. James and Hannah, you know, keeping us all in wait. So they made signs to his father, and they find out what he would name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was set free, and he began to what? Speak and do what? Praise God. His sound of unbelief gave way to a sound of belief, which gave way to a sound of praise. Actually, in silence, as Zechariah scribes the name John silently, quietly on that chalkboard, his mouth opens to the sound of praise and joy. You might remember, if you've read the story, that after Mary visits Elizabeth, do you remember what it said? That in Elizabeth, her unborn child, what, John? As Mary walks through the door, what does the unborn child do? Leaps in her womb for joy. For joy. Mary, when she opens up her mouth eventually, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." You remember the shepherds, after they've seen Jesus, the shepherds returned after seeing Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, just as they were told. That there may be a sound of praise on your lips this Christmas as you believe the promises that God has made to us. Let me start to close like this. Maybe you just want to close your eyes again if you want to, at least just quieten your heart again. I want you to breathe in these words. Because in Genesis 15:6 it says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. To all those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die in silence of their sin. It will not perish, but have eternal life with the sound of the angels forever in glory. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now look up and see this verse that pulls it all together. In Psalm 106, verse 12, "Then they believed his promises and sang his sound of praise." Gathering team, would you come?